I'm Chief Cheryl Victorian. This is Waco PD on the beat. Whether it's crime or just getting to know the Waco Police Department, we're here to talk about things that matter most to you.
Don't worry, you got a lot of eyes on you.
That's the audience.
That's the audience.
Okay.
Welcome to the public information office where we have a ton of adorables on the windowsill. Hello, Waco. And welcome to Waco PD on the beat. It's been a while. Well, you know, we did our last podcast when we talked about, like, the whole website and stuff.
Yeah.
So we hope you guys saw that. That was kind of like our intro back into the year.
Back into Get It Started, and actually where we showed you where to find this podcast on the website.
Exactly. So. Which, if you're listening to it, I guess you found it.
Yeah, absolutely. So we got a good one.
All the other fun stuff that's on the website. But now we're here for our next episode of 2024.
I know. You got to introduce yourself.
Oh.
I haven't said my name.
We haven't even said our names yet.
We might have new listeners.
We might. Okay. All right. So I'm so sorry. I'm Sierra Shipley, the public information officer for the Waco Police Department.
And I'm Janae Draper with the neighborhood engagement team.
That's right.
There we go.
Officer Janae Draper.
I mean, it's been a minute.
Yeah. And we've got Officer Luke Briscoe here.
What's up, Briscoe?
What's going on?
Hi.
Which, by the way, when I texted, I'm calling her out. When I texted JD yesterday and was like, "Hey, don't forget we have the podcast with Luke." She goes, "Who's Luke?"
Said, for the record, Briscoe. Do we not refer to everybody usually by our last name?
Correct.
And like, I mean, Luke. She was like, "You know, don't forget Luke." And I'm like,
"She goes, who Luke?" I said, "Briscoe."
And I was like, "Ah, I know Briscoe." But like first name, sometimes you're like, you know,
who dat? I guess when you know the last name's on the name tag on the uniform. That's all you can remember.
So don't think I didn't know who you were. I know Briscoe all day long. I could hear it all over town and be like, I know that's Briscoe.
That's true. When I hear him on the radio, I'm like, oh, there's Briscoe.
Yeah.
But he's a little nervous, but it's okay. It's okay.
A little. Really nervous.
You'll be fine. You'll be fine. You're going to talk about the things that you do every single day.
Yeah. And things that you're really good at. And honestly, we walk away from these. I know I walk away from these learning a lot. Mm-hmm. So. Even though I've been to, like, one of the reconstruction classes. I think I was in there with you, maybe? One of them when it was hosted or whatnot. We had, like a mini one down in the basement.
Fun.
I don't know if you were in there. There was a few people, but it's been a hot minute. Yeah. So
clearly a while before I was here. Well, so. We'll start with an easy question. How long have you worked here at Waco PD? He's trying not to laugh. He's like, 2 days.
So we're 14 years.
14 years. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Yes.
That's crazy.
And have you done all your time at Waco PD? Did you work all your time Waco PD?
As far as man at Popo, yes.
Yeah. So then what did you do before the 14 years?
A detention officer.
A detention.
Yeah. Well, if it makes you feel any better, I also came from, well, it's not detention, but a maximum security prison in TDCJ before coming here. So it seems to be some people come from there.
Some people just kind of move over.
BJ came from a detention center as
really?
Well. You know, juveniles. I don't know if it's called like a detention center. But
yeah.
TYC?
No, it wasn't TYC. No, it was like, I don't want to put words in. The mouth, I don't know the exact title, but I know it came from something like that. So it seems to be a pattern.
Huh.
Yeah.
Just kind of an easy, probably, transition. It's like when when the officers come from the military, too.
The more you know.
The more you know.
There you go.
On Waco PD. On the beat. And why did you want to move from your last job to being an officer? What sparked the...
I always wanted to be a popo, and I hated that job.
that'll do it.
That'll do it. Well, I mean, you know, 14 years later, I guess you still like it, right?
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
Still don't know what I'm doing. I make it every day. Good job of putting on an act.
That's right. So tell us, what is your current position here at Waco PD? What's your title?
Patrol South Waco.
But you also have...
Sorry, I had to give a shout out.
South Waco. You also have kind of a secondary duty as well, right?
Yeah, I'm part-time detective.
Part-time detective.
Yes.
Crash reconstructionist.
Correct.
So is it just any crash you come out, or like what is a crash reconstructionist?
Unfortunately, if I get called out, it's not good. Somebody's more likely dead or going to die or going to be not walking the same for the rest of their life. Yeah.
Some sort of, like, serious bodily injury.
Yes. And more likely, it's just fatalities.
Okay.
Okay. And is that the only time we usually do, like, when a crash reconstructionist would come out, is her fatalities?
Yes, and serious
bodily. Yeah. What interested you? Did someone was like, hey, you'd be good at this? Or, like, have crashes always just been something that was intriguing?
I could have been talking to somebody. I can't remember exactly what got me, but I can't remember the exact thing, but something came up. That looks cool. And I've been decent at math. Math's not hard. 2 + 2 = 5, right?
Oh, okay. Boy.
You know? So I'm like.
You got me. I was like, yeah.
I know you're always shaking your head, and I was counting my fingers.
And working crashes just normally on a, you know, patrol. You know, like, I always kind of wanted to know.
Like the basis, general.
We're playing charades
know,
over here.
Know the ins and outs. No.
Yeah, kind of like what like really, really happened.
Okay. Oh, okay.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. Because sometimes you got, kinda you know, like some stories
it,
and
you know, like
dive into it.
Real in depth.
All right. So what is, like, how would you describe a crash reconstructionist to, you know, anyone in the community? And why are they important in an investigation?
One question at a time.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, sorry. One question at a time. So how would you describe a crash reconstructionist? Because, I mean, to a normal citizen, they might have an idea, but it's probably a little different.
I guess somebody that comes out on major crashes that are going to go really in depth into the crash, the ins and outs. I mean, really look at it. Pretty much underneath the microscope, in a sense, and just take a deep dive.
Because as a reconstructionist, y'all look at everything from, like, skin marks. Y'all look at, like,
gouges.
Yeah,
like
gouges.
What are you looking for? Impacts.
All the above.
Like, all that. And that's where, like, the math comes in, because there's a lot of math that goes in behind it versus just, like, because normally, you say, like, on reconstruction, if you come out, the person's either, you know, incapacitated in some sort of fashion where they can't talk. You might have somebody, but you want to, again, get the whole story because sometimes there's some little pieces that are left out. Mm-hmm. So you're literally pretty much reading the road and the vehicles.
And all the evidence.
To have them tell you the story. And so having.
When I get really, really good at this, I want to be able to just walk up to the scene, look at the scene, and like, yep, this, boom. And just solve it without looking or talking to anybody, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot, from working patrol and working crashes, like you've got usually vehicles everywhere. You know, you might have one store that was like, my light was green, I was doing this, and you're looking at vehicles, and you're like, how are these vehicles kind of working to get into this angle?
Right.
As to what happened and who went first and what went where, and making sure that what's being told is lining up with what the vehicles are telling you. Mm-hmm. And again, because, I mean, like I said, seeing all that Briscoe does out there, there's a lot of math that goes into it. Trajectory.
I feel like I'd be out there with, like, a protractor. I'd be like, wait. I need a calculator. Because
you got, grade level, too?
Yeah, you got to do that, get the angles, departure, approach angles, and all that good stuff.
Oh, my gosh.
So, kids, when you're in junior high or high school, pay attention to math. Because I never thought I would be doing this 25 years after high school.
I was going to say, because usually, like, I mean, there's not, like, I guess a whole lot of math, I guess, that goes into, like, day-to-day patrol life, right?
No.
Like, you know, but when it comes to crash reconstruction, if that intrigues you.
And see, I didn't realize how much math went into it, even, you know, the years that I was on patrol until going to that class And I was like, what's I would entailed? Have
been,
like,
right then and there, I would have been like, I'm out.
Can't but it that. Was very.
I went through Crush, and one of their math formulas, you can't see my fingers, but.
It looks about what, like a little over a foot?
I go about 6 inches, 6 to 8 inches.
Okay.
I mean, that's how long that formula was.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, you got like the. But cosine, sine, all the...
Tangent, yeah. Inverse tangent.
Yeah. That's not just like 2 plus 2. It's all kinds of variables.
That's PTSD. That is PTSD for me over here.
Yes. So. It takes time.
Yeah. But you're able to solve or to look at those crash scenes, and especially like, you know, on the more serious, I know we're kind of joking, but on the more serious side of like the crash scenes of someone is deceased in the crash, you can look at that and you can solve it and almost, you know, more times than not bring justice to the family by actually finding out exactly what happened, how it happened, and who's at fault.
Right, so. Right. Because I'm sure, too, even it's hard for you guys to sometimes maybe talk to, like, witnesses or the drivers that were involved, because when anyone is in a major incident, I mean, there's so many things that, like, and there's been... a whole bunch of, I feel like I see like the same video every time where it's like, we showed a group of people one thing, but they thought they saw one thing when really it was another, you know? And yeah. So
that's
I'm sure.
What happened on this last wreck. Yeah. We had a witness, or I was told when I showed up that this car was coming this way, this car was coming this way. But looking at the car and road evidence, it was impossible. Yeah. Never happened. Finally, we got video showing that they were this way.
Oh. Both going the same direction when the original side was they were going opposite directions towards each other. Yeah.
See? So I'm sure even then, too, like, it's hard for our officers that are on scene because a lot of times, you know, people in the community are they're like, well, why don't you guys, you know, it's so easy to solve it. They crashed. Who, you know, yeah, clearly we know who's at fault and why and all this information. But, yeah, when we have people out on the scene that say they saw this and.
Yeah. And a lot of times that's just like, you know, trauma and stuff like that, because your brain, you know, and that's what I try to, when I'm out talking to people is, you know, only give information. It's not saying that you're lying because that's not what it is, but sometimes just in the heat of the moment and the trauma of the moment, your brain can only comprehend so much. And so it kind of starts putting pieces together that it may not really have happened. So, and that's usually what sometimes, you know, you don't have people who are intentionally giving you false information or witnesses. Now you do have those that are. Sometimes trying to like help themselves out and say false information, but then you have other times where people are just the trauma of it all. Mm-hmm. Even though you're not involved in it, you can still have trauma from witnessing or experiencing it and having your brain trying to put pieces together that aren't quite making sense. And it comes out that it's not entirely accurate, but not on an account to you, but just what the human body is capable of.
Right.
So,
and I guess that's why crash reconstruction is so important, because the one thing that, you know, can ultimately tell, like, the actual truth is the vehicles.
Correct.
The items that can't talk.
Yeah. And I remember, I think the first time I was ever introduced to reconstruction was my very first fatality, and seeing, like, where the vehicles were landed. And I was brand new. I've been here 7.5 years, and I wasn't even a year into my time here at Waco PD, and it was my first fatality, and looking at the vehicles and how everything was and what people were saying happened, and I was like, how is this, like, this doesn't make sense. And I mean, the vehicles were destroyed, there's so much debris, so you're trying to like look at, I know how y'all look at the vehicle and the road and everything like that, but it was just watching the crash reconstructions come out and kind of work everything, because at that point we had a deceased in the vehicle. But we also had, you know, serious bodily injury and others. So we didn't have, you know, anybody who could tell us what exactly happened or who was actually there, witnessed it, just people who had driven up. But then have the reconstructionists come in and be like, you know, do their thing, which is why they shut down the roads on so much and be like, well, this happened here. And I'm like, I would have never put that together.
Yeah.
So
I was going to say that that's a whole nother question. And, I mean, I know some other drivers that are on the road that – weren't there for the crash but are coming up to it, you know, shortly after or while our officers are on scene, roads get closed.
Yes.
And
sometimes they stay closed for a while.
Sometimes they stay closed for a while, and we're sorry about that. We don't like to close the roads. Yeah, but I mean,
you got to think about it. You have a wreck, so officers get there, and unless they're dead on arrival, they contact the sergeant. The sergeant got to contact another sergeant who got to contact me. So you're looking at a few minutes there, mm-hmm. and then if I'm at home, it takes me a couple minutes to get dressed. Then get here. You're looking at just that part alone. You're looking at roughly, 25 to 45 minutes.
Because even though you're on patrol, you're still as a reconstructionist are on call. So on days that you're not, hours that you're not working or days that you're not working, you are on call that there's they need some sort of reconstructionist.
I'm on call 24/7, 365.
That's right.
And I'm the only one.
That's right. Hey, we got another one. I'm 24/7,
Officer Rutherford just joined us. Okay. So he started to go to training. So he got a few more months before we're going to kick him.
I was going to say, you guys will be able to flip back and forth.
Yes, hopefully. Well, probably for the first year.
Yeah.
Until he gets his feet wet, get confidence.
Right. So, and sometimes we can't predict really how long roads are going to be closed, right? No. It's just.
Because you still got the scans, you got to mark everything. Crime scene got to do their thing. I'm not going to speak on what they do because I'll be telling lies. Because I don't know. They do a lot. They do. They probably don't get paid enough for what they get, what they have to do.
Yeah.
They definitely need a pay raise. I'm not here. Advocate or
they'll be happy to hear that. They'll be happy to hear that.
Yeah, give them a shout out. Yeah. But yeah, they are very beneficial.
They definitely helped me out, and I know without them it'd be kind of rough.
Yeah,
because ultimately it all comes
y'all
down
for helping me and dealing with my weird ways that I do things.
So I was going to kind of ask, see, he's like walking into these questions for me.
Yeah.
But like, what is your checklist when you go out there?
First thing, secure the scene.
Yeah.
Because we always have people driving to our scenes one way or the other. If there is a cop car blocking the road, do not go around it. Because of one on 20th and Concord, we had two that went around patrol vehicles. And nearly hit our scanner.
Oh, no.
And it's a $25,000 scanner. Seriously, we had to stop one. I came pretty close from running it over.
And that's something, like, just a side note to put on there. There's a lot of times, you'll have cop cars blocking roads. But we don't want to block the roads any more than people want their roads blocked. And I know a lot of people are like, I drive this way, I got to go home this way. But the roads are blocked for a reason. That's either for the safety of crime scene, because a lot of times they're focused on the scene, they're down on the ground, they're not looking.
Yeah.
Or we have $25,000 equipment that's trying to scan and bring justice to a family.
Well, I think that's the main thing. Yeah. We're not paying attention to traffic. We're focusing.
We're focusing on the scene. I mean, you're not paying attention to the cars that are driving around you because you're like, well, we got the roads blocked. There shouldn't be a car driving through the middle of the.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's the main thing. If
And I got now, unfortunately, a zero tolerance. If you drive around, you're getting a ticket. I'm sorry. Yeah. I used to, until I nearly got hit one day, I'm like, we're done.
Yeah.
You're getting a ticket every time. Yeah,
it's safe. It's safety. We've got vehicles
and lights.
I'm sorry.
If you got a marked patrol unit with their lights on and you literally go around them.
Yeah. You just got to think about the safety of themselves, you guys. I mean, because who knows at the same time, too, what incident is going on, what scene you guys are trying to secure that, I mean, we don't know.
So it's not just crash scenes.
Yeah.
That we might be blocking something off. It might be a barricade subject or something else that's not safe. But the reason the road is blocked is it's not safe for you or someone to go around the vehicle. So,
and we try and work as efficiently as we can because we don't want to be there all day either. Outside.
I don't know a single patrol officer that enjoys having a road blocked because it just causes chaos for us. Yeah. So we want to get it open just as quickly as the civilian does. But just have patience with this and understand that it's there for a reason. So that was a little side note to kind of put in there.
That was after secure the scene.
Yeah. What's the secure next the scene. Checklist? Sorry. Go ahead. Checklist.
Okay, where was I?
Scene security. Inside note.
Start looking for evidence. Anything that could potentially be used for the crash that I could use to reconstruct it.
So would you, is that what you're saying? Like, is that where you talk about gouges in the road?
Gouges, skid marks, I mean, you name it.
Vehicle pieces that have flown off?
Yes.
Would that include, like, the damages to the vehicles? Would that also include, or damages to property? Does that include it, or is that, am I skipping ahead?
All the above.
All the above.
All the above. Literally everything.
Yes.
That's crazy.
Okay. So once, let's say, you found, like, you found all the gouges, skid marks, debris, and all like that, what would be the next step? You're starting to start putting the scene together.
Get my paint out.
Get your paint.
Paint.
Get my paint. I love it, too.
I was going to say, in the class, that was probably.
You get to paint?
Yeah, you get to paint the roads.
Really?
Yes. And I tag every scene. I did my little LB18 on every scene.
Okay.
I don't know that I was there.
Okay.
Yeah. So what is painting the scene? What is that? So, you, like, you have your evidence, but why do we, why do you, not we, because I don't paint anything. Why do you paint the scene?
A couple of reasons, I guess. We scan it, and we also drone it. That way we could come back and do measurements that way if we want to, or just, it's easier to take measurements where you know where point A to point B is.
Because probably the debris or whatnot, not, they're going to start trying to clear the vehicles, clear the scene, yeah. But then your paint is still there to kind of mark everything. So when everything's clear, you can still go back and you can take your measurements and have everything without just having to leave the vehicles on there for an extended amount of time. Because, again, trying to clear the scene as quickly as possible. Yeah. But then, yeah, that's where all your math and mathing comes in after you paint and take the scene.
I should come out on one of these one day so I can watch all this.
I'll call you next time.
Yeah, please. I know we had to talk about that. Yeah.
Okay.
I want to, like, I probably should, I don't know, watch one of those one day. Because, yeah, usually, like, if we do have a fatality or you are texting me, like, hey, I'm going out on a, you know, possible fatality, I'm either, you know, as long as it's not anything that is, like, some crazy car pileup, if it's just, like, you know, the normal 1, 2, 3 vehicle kind of situation, I usually stay away because I'm like, I'm going to be in the way. If I go out there, or unless, you know, the media goes out there, then I'll go out there too and try and talk to them. And
it's very interesting.
Yeah. So who, okay, now I need to know, though, who, do we clean the paint up afterwards? No, it just stays there?
It'll eventually go away.
Oh.
Car travel. I mean, usually they don't last that long.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Especially on a major thoroughfare.
Yeah. All the cars driving
within, like,
over
a week.
Oh, yeah.
If you see paint on the ground, that's
probably what.
But
it was
not called. Always. I mean, because, you know, I've seen, like, construction people, and they also paint the ground. But
yeah, of course, their paint usually lasts a little longer than ours, probably.
Oh no, Crown Scene makes fun of me because I paint too much. Yeah. I use a lot of paint.
Well, is that your favorite part about it, or is that, like, the most?
Like a kid in a candy store, give me a paint thing.
I thought it was the math.
Well, it was fun because you. When I was in that training, I remember bits and pieces about it, but we went out to the driving track, and we had actually, we did like 20, 30, 40, and I think even up to 50 miles per hour of skid marks to just see, like, how long the skid marks, you know, how you can look at the skid marks and kind of see how fast someone's traveling, and I might be missing something, but, like, it was really cool. Oh, to see if it's the beginning of the skid mark or the end of the skid mark to kind of know, like, which direction of travel it goes. So that was really cool to kind of go out and see that. To make the skid marks as well.
So. Right. Well, I feel like it's kind of like this question specifically is more like, not like a dumb question, but like, well, we know the answer, but how important is it for a crash reconstructionist as, like, an extra individual that does that part of the investigation versus, like, just one of our special crimes detectives that do investigate the fatality crashes overall? But if they had to go out and do that too, oh my goodness. Like, how important is it just you as an individual, an extra person to help with the investigation?
Special crimes is now over it. And they do the like criminal part of it.
Right.
They don't have, they do not do nothing what I do.
Yeah.
So I do all my things, and here we go.
You kind of send it off to them.
Basically, you just, you don't, say, you can say, like, which vehicle is at fault or anything like that, or what did this, but basically you're just recreating the crime scene for them, and then you're handing it on to the detectives to do the investigation work. And
they're going to decide, based on my work, if criminal charges need to be filed. Or
right. But, yeah, if they had to do that, though, could you imagine how long sometimes those investigations would take? Because they investigate a whole lot, whole bunch of different stuff. Yes. So.
They also need more people in their office as well.
We need more officers. Yes. We're hiring.
Yeah. We need more. Just because all the amount of work that we, you know, that we do in the different areas. Like mm-hmm. you said, we've got one reconstructionist. We've got one in training. Hopefully, come on. But, mm-hmm. you know. Two reconstructionists for the size of Waco.
Yeah, and that's something, when I go to my trainings, nobody believes me when I tell them there's only one.
Really? They're like, what?
I actually been called a liar one time. Seriously, I had to call Sergeant Ashworth, put him on speaker. Hey, how many are there? Oh. Just you.
He's like, why are you asking this? Yeah. He's like, just you, buddy. Sorry.
Yeah. So.
Wow. So then I guess fatalities, they come in waves, don't they?
It seems like it, yes.
It seems like they come in waves. So, I mean, this is just, you know, I think a good time just remind people to be safe on the roads, right? Mm-hmm. And then you as a patrol officer, too, you're watching people drive around the roads all day, every day. I mean, gosh, especially with all the construction that's going around Waco, people need to slow down.
And I've been told that they're about to start on 35 from where they ended to the loop.
Oh man. Listen, we love TxDOT and all the work that they do in the construction job. And
they did great work on where it was.
And we appreciate the new road so much. But oh man.
Oh man, that was just a headache, especially trying to get, you know, working patrol, trying to get from point A to point B as fast as possible.
Or even.
And one day the road's open, the next day it's closed, and you're like, ugh.
You're like, how do we get somewhere? But then crashes happen, too, in those construction zones. That makes it even more difficult because it's an even smaller space than what we're used to.
Yep. So.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay.
So what would you say is the hardest part about crash reconstruction? Or what's maybe something that you didn't realize would be difficult?
Getting all your numbers. The math part, to me, simple. It's a joke. You plug it in a calculator, it spits it out. It's getting the numbers to put in the equations, finding your angles, your departure angles, approach angles, all that good stuff. As soon as you get your numbers and all that, the rest of it's takes time.
It just takes math.
Tedious work.
Yes. It takes me. I can't speak for other. I think Hooten, he could, I don't know, he might be able to knock it out in 2 minutes, which takes me 10 hours. I mean, I don't know how long it took him to do his stuff, but it takes me a minute.
Yeah. Did you foresee that being probably the most difficult part, like going through all the training and stuff? Did you like foresee, like, oh man, this is going to be hard?
No. The overall, no.
Yeah.
Getting the numbers, I thought that'd be easier, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But like I said, as soon as I get my numbers.
It's just plug and play.
Pretty much. And time.
Yes. Yeah, it does seem very tedious. Again, because you want to get it correct.
Yes.
So it's not like, you know, a regular math equation where it's like, oh, I'm wrong. Like, you're wrong can be detrimental. So
and
it's
when I go to a scene, I don't want to, can I say half-ass?
Maybe.
Okay. You know, I don't want to do something half-ass. I want to go, and if I'm going to do it, because I'm potentially, at the end of the day, going to refer something to special crimes to potentially put a warrant out for somebody's arrest, right?
Yeah.
So I want to make sure that whatever numbers I come up with, speed or whatnot, I want to make sure to the best of my ability that I'm doing everything in my power, my trainings, the whole nine, that I am 100% confident in what I got.
Yeah.
Yeah.
because I don't want to hem somebody up that shouldn't be hemmed up.
Mm-hmm.
Or just not do 100% just because of whatever reason.
Right.
You know,
right.
Regardless what wreck it is, single vehicle, you know, that has no, other than the dead guy. That there's no other victim or whatever. I still want to work that just as much if there's a five-car fatality, right?
Yeah.
You know, just because that family is going to want answers, what happened, you know, all that good stuff. So
right, right.
I go with the same mentality regardless what it is. That
I think that's, like, something that I just kind of, like, realized is – I think this is pretty fair to say, but usually, like, crashes, they're kind of like a separate, like, they're almost disjointed from, like, other crime in the sense of, like, no one wakes up in the morning and is like, I'm going to crash into someone today. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No. What was that word you used?
Disjointed. Is that what I said?
Yeah, you said
disconnected. I don't know. I was trying to think of a word that, like, it's like they're, like, separate from, like,
say it again.
Disjointed.
What?
Disjointed.
Okay. I'm going to look that up in Webster and see what that says.
Disjoint. I can Google it. You want me to Google it right now? But you know what I'm trying to say, though?
Yeah, no one wakes up with the intention of, not many. I mean, there have been, you know,
sure. I mean, the nation, you know.
But normally people don't wake up with the intention that I'm going to go and crash into somebody.
Yeah. No, I'll spell that.
D-I-S. Jointed.
He is still on this word.
J-O-I-N-T-E-D. Lacking a coherent sequence or connection.
There we go.
See? Okay. That's a good one.
I was thinking you pop joints out of place. Disjointed. That's like.
Oh, man. No. It's just, they're kind of just separate from, so it's harder, too, to like understand the why, right? Because with a criminal that is deciding to go rob a store or assault someone, there's a little more why behind it than, oh, I got into a crash.
Yeah.
Why do we call them crashes and not accidents?
Because technically, there is no such thing as an accident. Somebody or something is always at fault.
There you go.
You either A, ran a red light, speeding, something that you did on your end to cause this wreck. Failed to yield, whatever.
Change lanes when unsafe.
Yes. I mean, all the above. Or if it's a defect in a vehicle, somebody made that defect. So, therefore, that, I mean, there, in my opinion, I'm sure there's an exception out there somewhere. There is no such thing as an accident.
Yeah. But that's something, you know, we're taught from day one. We don't call them accidents. We call them crashes.
Right.
And for that reason. Because it, in some way, form or fashion of how that crash happened, it wasn't
somebody screwed up.
Yeah, it was a fault of some way.
Yeah,
not accidental.
Whether you meant the fault or not,
correct.
You're still at fault for something.
Yeah.
So it's all right. Very good. Okay, now let's have a little bit PSA. You know why people should be smart on the roads. And drive safe and pay attention to the lanes and the roads.
So we don't have crashes.
Ta-da!
Yes. Let's make our roads safer for everybody.
Yeah.
All of us are not only just a, you know, everyday Waco community out there driving to and from work, home, you know, activities or whatnot. But for all our officers out there who, you know, officers, crime scene, everybody else involved in working the scene.
Yeah.
If the roads are blocked, but just to make it safer for everybody so we can be safer together.
Safer together. Ooh.
Early it's going to hint early plot twist.
Hell yeah.
There's a secret that we've been keeping.
I know. You'll know about it later.
But yeah.
But yes. No, but really though, like just pay attention. Don't try and cut the system of the roadways. You know, if it's a solid white line, if it's a solid yellow line, there's a reason why that's there.
Which it can be frustrating.
Yeah.
We can all admit and say, even, you know, us, it's frustrating sometimes, the speed limit, the solid, you know, white line when you want to pass, like, you know, all that
the barriers or whatever, if you want to turn and you can't.
But it's there for a reason. Texas does a lot of studies. They don't just put stuff up on roads just to put stuff up on roads. They do a lot of studies, traffic studies, as to why they have, you know, roundabouts, as to why they have stop signs, as to why they have stop lights, passing lane, no passing lane, the different barriers and stuff. So there's a lot of studies that go into them. And I've actually sat in a meeting listening to the City of Waco engineer talking about, like, all the different stuff that goes, that's involved in why they put what they put where. And I'm like, wow, okay. So it's not just, like, someone getting out there and just painting.
Yeah, it makes sense when you hear the backstory, because I go to TxDOT meetings once a month for fatalities, and I hear the back, you know, the part that I'm like,
stuff that you just may not think about on the regular that goes into
the normal citizen driving on the road, and then they get irritated, or they're in a rush, or they just want to be at their destination. Mm-hmm. But it's just better just to, if you have to, just go around the block. I'm probably the person that everyone gets annoyed at, though, because I'm like, nah, I'll drive slower. It's fine. I'm the one everyone's
getting annoyed. We all get annoyed. But at the same time, there's a difference in just being annoyed and still going with, you know, and doing the right thing and doing what it says if it's blocked or whatnot. You can be annoyed and drive the block.
Right.
Or be annoyed and go slower, you know, because of construction.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it's all there for a reason. And that's all, you know.
And even then, just think about it. It's just not worth it to get angry at someone for whatever, not using their blinker or cutting you off or whatever it might be. Just
life is way too short to be angry on stupid.
Yeah. There you go. Like, and I think about that, because there have been times too where, like, if someone's driving a little bit slower or whatever, and I'm like, oh my gosh, hurry up. And then I'm like, why am I upset?
Yeah.
Just, you're fine. We're going to get there.
But all right. Anything else you want to add to the Reconstructionist podcast? Anything else we left out that you thought would be important?
Well, I finally got where I'm not nervous anymore and you're stopping this.
Oh my goodness. Well, what do you want to talk
See?
About?
I told Tell you us. There's nothing to be nervous about.
What do you want to talk about?
We literally just sit here and carry on conversations.
Guess, let me give thanks to Sergeant Ashworth for letting me be part of this, even though I tested and beat out somebody, but still. I guess the chief at the end of the day there who approves and the ACs.
He's like, thank you for my job.
No, because we just got a lot of new equipment.
Yeah.
To pull information from the airbag control.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and that's really cool. And all the trainings they let me go to, which is very important to what I do.
Absolutely.
So again, just goes back to the efficiency of your job.
Because at the end of the good day, I want to be the best that I can be.
Yeah.
And for them sending me to trainings, and I know it costs money to send people to trainings, but thank you. Even though I got a couple more that I want to go to, so get ready.
If you're listening.
Like, when you see those papers across your desk.
Yes. You know, because at the end of the day, I'm here to do the very best that I can do. And I can't do that without my training because, you know, this sounds cliche or whatnot, but the citizens of Waco, they deserve the best. Mm-hmm. And they deserve everything that we could give them to hopefully bring some kind of peace or whatever to them, knowing that their loved one died, you know.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So well, come I go you. Out every time with, I'm going to give it 100% regardless.
Good.
Yeah. So next time if you see Officer Briscoe out on the street or see the LB-13, was it LB-13? 18. LB-18.
It's right there. 18.
Sorry, LB-18. So just be patient, understand. And
Yeah, and drive safe. Yeah,
crime scene, don't get too mad at me for painting too much.
He just likes
He enjoys
it.
His paint. Look, with all the number crunching he's got to do, let him do a little extra painting.
Act like a kid for a minute, okay?
Oh, my goodness. Well, thank you, Officer Briscoe. We appreciate you being here, and we appreciate the work you do. And if that rounds it out, then I think we're good. But if you ever want to come back again, now that you're comfortable
see,
with
now
it.
Now you're comfortable, we can come back. We can talk about anything.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what we do.
Yeah. Cruising is the one thing we like to talk about the most.
Yeah. We should just do one where we just have just a random conversation. Just see where the conversation goes.
Yeah, we could. It's very possible. So
we can do it now.
Why not?
I'm here until 4.
You're here until 4 p.m. Just a 5-hour long podcast.
Listen, the title of that podcast is just going to be Random Thoughts with Officer Briscoe.
Ooh, maybe that should be a segment.
It should
segment.
Be. It just sees where the conversation goes. Where
do we do that?
Random, like random thought of the day.
I get squirrels pretty easy.
But see, that's the fun of it. Yeah. It's like you don't know, like, unless you listen to the podcast, you don't know what, there could be some really funny.
Exactly.
If you're talking to Briscoe, you're going to have something funny in there.
Oh, yeah. But
exactly.
Yeah. If you could tell, listening from the very beginning of the podcast
to
did, now.
I started it when you, I don't know, you don't know that. I started it when you noticed my Dorables on the windowsill. So
I didn't even notice that either.
No, you guys, I mean, yeah, those that are listening, you can't see it. But if you've ever seen those like Disney Dorables, there's those like freaking little mini figurines. I love
you're
Disney.
Obsessed
I'm obsessed
them.
With them. But I've got probably...
got over 50.
Oh, over 80 at over least. 80. I'm sure there's at least 100 sitting on my windowsill
right
now.
Yeah, I think there's
right
at least 100.
And
but they're our audience when we do the podcast.
Exactly. And he didn't notice it when he walked in. So I was about to start the podcast and you turned and had just a look of fear. All of the adorables staring back at you.
It was awesome.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you, Waco, for listening to us and supporting us and... and we appreciate you. So I'm Sierra Shipley, the public information officer.
And I'm Officer Janae Draper with the neighborhood engagement team. And we got pointing at Briscoe to give his
outro.
Yeah, outro. We've got
Briscoe.
And he's nervous again.
And he's nervous again.
Officer Briscoe
he didn't even
with us.
Well, thank you, Waco. You have a good one and stay safe.
Till next time.
Waco PD on the beat, the heartbeat serving.